The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing the center of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. It's a critic of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We continue our study this evening in Genesis 19, where we'll pick up the exegesis of verses 15 through 16. All right, we've made the effort to be here for the dissemination of the truth of Bible doctrine. Make sure we cause it to count on our behalf, that we're in fellowship, that we've dealt with the sin nature through rebound as necessary, that God the Holy Spirit can once again this evening lighten us to the truth and the matters at hand, that we can walk away with information in our souls, helping us to continue to do our daily battle and the struggles against the forces of darkness in the cosmos, otherwise in this vein. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with a normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your protection, a positive volition for those who desire to know you and understand you in your word, that we can avail ourselves of the truth of your word, undistorted by the sin nature, through your grace. And we ask that God the Holy Spirit will do this once again this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. In the central theme, Lot's been warned by the angels and given the reason and purpose for why they are there, primarily. And that is because they are to bring about destruction on Sodom and Gomorrah and the region in that respect. They give him instructions and tell him to go out and round up any other family members, relationships otherwise, in this vein that may live there in Sodom. And as we saw, he gave it an attempt, but he was not taken seriously by the two sons-in-law, whom he first and only went to in this way. And therefore, he turns around and simply comes back, by all appearances, to the house. And now we see the exit of Sodom as is to be executed in this vein, looking at verses 15 and 16 and scene number 8. And when morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, look here at the Hebrew, wow conjunction, followed with a preposition kaph, K-A-P-H, and as, the morning, you have the definite article, followed with the common masculine singular noun absolute, shakar, S-H-A-C-H-A-R, the dawn, literally, daybreak, hence morning, and this morning is just ascending or arising. That's the Kal perfect third masculine singular, Allah, A-L-A-H, to arise, ascend, hence the morning dawned. The angels urged Lot, saying, you have the wow consecutive, the hifil imperfect third masculine plural of the verb utz, U-T-S, they urged or caused a hurry, if you will. Time is of the essence. That being the angels, the two messengers, definite article, our word for messengers or angels here, common masculine plural absolute, Malak, M-A-L-E-A-K, and they urged Lot, preposition bait, followed the proper noun, Lot. Saying is your preposition lamed, with the cal infinity verb construct amar. They urged him with a purpose, and that is to get him moving, saying, A-M-A-R. up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here. Our imperatives here, the first one is to arise, get up, Cal imperative, masculine singular, kum, K-U-M. Take comes next in the list, Cal imperative, verb, masculine singular, lakak, L-A-Q-A-C-H. Take here your wife and your two daughters. You have the sign of the direct object, denoting the object of taking and getting up as necessary. Then the common feminine singular noun construct with the second masculine singular suffix or word for woman or wife, ishashah, I-S-H-S-H-A-H. And, while conjunction, sign of direct object again, your two daughters. Here you have the adjective feminine dual construct, Shanaim, S-H-E-N-A-Y-I-M. Here in the construct, two of your daughters, again implying the extended family that obviously Lot has. This is not the only people in his family in the household. Then follow with the noun, common feminine plural construct, the second masculine singular suffix, bath daughters, B-A-T-H. The ones literally having been found, translated who are here. It's the direct definite article, follow with the nifl participle, feminine plural absolute, matzah. Matzah, M-A-T-S-A. Lest you be swept away in the punishment of the city. Yeah, the particle pen, P-E-N, lest, or as you might translate it, we might say unless. To be swept away is a nifal, imperfect second masculine singular, our verb safah, S-A-P-H-A-H. Saw this verb in chapter 18, verses 23 and 24. To be swept away altogether with the rest of the inhabitants. Here in the sphere of the punishment of the city, preposition bet, then our word for punishment or guilt, as it may be understood, common both singular noun construct awan, A-W-O-N, and the punishment of the city, definite article, common feminine singular absolute, our word for city, ear, I-Y-R. Denoting both guilt. They're all guilty. 16. And we see Lot's response to the angel's commands. But he hesitated. You had the wow consecutive. Then the his pile, imperfect third masculine singular, which is reflective. But he himself hesitated or lingered or delayed, our verb maha, M-A-H-A-H. So the men seized his hand and the hand of his wife and the hands of his two daughters. While consecutive, so then you have the verb hifil, imperfect third masculine plural, the Hebrew chazak, chazak. C-H-A-Z-A-Q literally means become strong or prevail. Hence, they seized. They took, grabbed them under control, if you will. The ones doing the seizing is the men, definite article, noun, common masculine plural, absolute, simply shortened verb. Word for a woman is ish, man, I-S-H. They seized upon his hand, literally. You have the preposition bet, followed with the noun, common feminine singular construct with the second masculine singular suffix. Our word for hand is yad in the Hebrew, yad. And, while conjunction, bet, repeated. Then our noun for hand, again, common feminine singular construct, yad, repeated. Here the hand of his wife, common feminine singular construct with the third masculine singular suffix, ishasha. I-S-H, just man, then add woe. S-H-A-H, ishasha. Reversed. And upon the hand of his wife. Then wow conjunction, preposition bait, our word for hand, noun repeated in the construct. And then the adjective feminine dual construct, our number two, shana'im, S-H-E-N-A-Y-I-M, two of his daughters, the hand of the two of his daughters, common feminine plural construct, third masculine singular suffix again, bath, B-A-T-H. Then we see a note of why, if you will, he was extended this help, for the compassion of the Lord was upon him. You had the preposition bet with, literally, it denotes the angels being the instrument used in the compassion exercised towards him. With the, literally in the Hebrew, with the mercy of or compassion of the Lord upon him. You have our noun for mercy or compassion here, common feminine singular construct, chimelah, C-H-E-M-E-L-A-H. Lord, Yahweh, proper noun. Upon ends, the preposition all, A-L, with the third masculine singular suffix. And they brought him out and put him outside the city. So he needed physical urging along with the verbal. You had the wow consecutive. Then our verb to bring out is the hifil, imperfect third masculine plural, yatsa, Y-A-T-S-A. And they caused to bring out and put him outside the city. Wow consecutive. Then the second verb, hifil, imperfect, also hifil, imperfect third masculine plural, third masculine singular suffix, nawak, yatsa. Then nawak, N-A-W-A-C-H, the cause to settle, hence put, literally from outside this toward the city. If the perception is looking back to the city in the grammar, that's the way the Hebrew thinks. From outside is the preposition men, followed with our noun for outside, common masculine singular construct, chutz, C-H-U-T-S. Preposition lamed, definite article, then our noun again for city, common feminine singular absolute, ear, I-Y-R, from outside toward the city. All right, rereading here our two verses. And when the morning or daybreak arose, when the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, who have been found, lest you be swept away in the punishment of the city, together with all that will happen. Verse 16, but he, Lot, hesitated. He delayed. So the men seized his hand, and the hand of his wife, and the hands of his two daughters, for the compassion or mercy of the Lord was upon him. And they brought him out and put him outside the city. All right, the analysis of these two verses. Verses 15 and 16. Scene 8, number 1. Scene 8 presents the angels' retreat from Sodom in contrast to their arrival in scene 4 back in verse 1 of chapter 19. So the chapter began with them arriving. Now we see them leaving the city. 2. Upon their arrival, as we saw, they were strongly persuaded by Lot to allow his provision of safety. Now it is their turn to reciprocate. Whatever one may think of Lot or consider him as a believer. He did at least offer protection, hospitality for the visitors, and part of his motivation was recognizing the danger they would have been in, as the universal principle is, one good turn deserves another. It comes back in a way now, which is obviously way more beneficial than what he offered to the angels, which would have been of no necessity, considering who they are. But it obviously, they reciprocate in application to now protect him from the greatest danger that is in store for this region, and that is a complete obliteration by God. So three, now the immediate scene takes place at the crack of dawn. Literally, as the dawn arose in the Hebrew, Kaf Ha Shakar Allah. Four, dawn is a time when the blackness of night starts to lighten before sunrise. If you've been up all night, most of us have at least done that once or twice in our lives, and it's black, it's pitch black, all of a sudden you see a little gray just on the horizon, just a little bit of light. That's the crack of dawn. When you're pulling guard duty at night, that is a good thing to see. Oh, it's not too far off from the ending now. It's used the same way in verse 23. The sun had risen over the earth when the lot came to Zoar. The sun arising, the term dawn, there is used in 23. There now, obviously, it's already all the way up. That shows a difference in the timing. And then we see its use in Judges 19, 25 through 26. Which, ironically, in your word study, is a situation similar to what we have here in Sodom, but this, as it centers around a band of Benjamites, Jews, Israel, who themselves had turned to homosexuality, and the situation there in that regard. The visitor comes in to the area. He had a couple of concubines with him. He's a Levite. He's a priest. He comes in. He has an offer from an older gentleman there in the town to provide a roof over his head, protection otherwise. Verse 20, and the old man said, "Peace to you. Only let me take care of all your needs. However, do not spend the night in the open square." A warning, a recognition. Verse 21, so he took him into his house and gave the donkeys fodder, their food, and they washed their feet and ate and drank. And while they were making merry, obviously relaxing after the fact, behold, the men of the city, certain worthless fellows. That's just how God looks at this ilk of humanity. Worthless. See, really, what do they contribute to the propagation of mankind? Left to their own vices, nothing. Humanity would die out. You can't have those kind of babies. See. And here they're considered to be worthless. Surrounding the house, pounding the door. And they spoke to the owner of the house, the old man, saying, "Bring out the man who came into your house that we may have relations with him." Same situation. So obviously, it's not just Gentiles that can get caught up in these really bad vices of the STA. Anyone can fall prey to them if they let their SCA go that direction. And here we're dealing with Jews that allow this to occur. Then the man, the owner of the house, went out to them and said to them, "No, my fellows, please do not act so wickedly. Since this man has come into my house, do not commit this act of folly." And he, too, provides an alternative. "Here's my virgin daughter and his concubine. Please let me bring them out that you may ravish them and do to them whatever you wish. But do not commit such an act of folly against this man." But the man would not listen to him, so the man seized his concubine and brought her out to him. This one, they take him up on the situation. And they raped her and abused her all night until morning. Then let her go at the approach of dawn. As the day began to dawn, as our terms, the woman came and fell down at the doorway of the man's house where her master was until full daylight. And that goes into a situation where she dies. She's cut up into 12 pieces, sent out to all the rest of the tribes. And a message, obviously, enforced by God, is you need to go out and you need to expunge, execute these people out of your nation, out of your peoples. And these were not just your limp-wristed type of homosexuals. These men had a reputation as warriors. You can't let all that stuff fool you just because someone may be expertise and very dangerous physically otherwise. That doesn't necessarily, versus someone who is effeminate, does not necessarily demand or omit a trend in this area. And the rest of Israel was kind of chicken about it, and it took more than one attempt to go in and wipe them out. But that's the story summarized. We've touched on it before. But ironically, we have our same term, dawn, used here, or morning, in a similar situation. So, obviously, anybody can be an idiot spiritually and bring condemnation upon themselves, and by association, no matter who they may be, if they don't deal with their sin natures. So find the similar situations between the homosexuals of the Judges passage and our Genesis passage reiterate their voracious appetites of the sodomites. If nothing else, in looking at the word, comparing it, again, you have a confirmation that people driven by this vice, if left unbridled, if left unchecked by society or others around them, they will go to the extreme to express it. And obviously, the execution of this vice generally would bring harm upon another person. It's a sexual appetite that the normal person generally does not have. And there you see that they took a female and carried out their nefarious activities on her just in spite, if nothing else. So, anyway. These people are all right. They got good psyche. Oh, yeah. Right. Six, they further show their preference to engage in their activities under the cover of darkness on both occasions. Which, that's where evil types, they like to think that things are hidden otherwise. And it's like they're trying to hide these things from God or whatever. All right, seven. Now, the commands of the angels literally here, arise and take. Kum lakach. Arise, take. Two distinct commands given back to back. Parallels there the urgency of Lot's plea for them to find refuge in his home, and serves as a, quote here, wake-up call, end quote, to the real danger inherent for Sodom. Again, all this has been laid out according to divine design. God's in control of the situation. He's already determined Lot's going to be delivered. And so he's going to make provision for this deliverance to be fulfilled. And every aspect of it is designed to draw the attention to the spiritual issues at hand and what God is doing and going to do. And the instruction, the guidance given by others who are obviously here from divine origin. And that it is Bible doctrine in a pure way. And the importance of listening in regards to the instructions and commands and otherwise content and message that they provide in this vein. And it's a wake-up call to Lot. Your situation, what you thought was dangerous is nothing. God's getting ready to dump on this place. And it will be totally obliterated. All right, 8. Now the reference to your wife and your two daughters who are here, literally having been found, matzah, the definite article with the nifal participle, having been found, denoting the ongoing action of Lot getting together who he could, supports the premise of other family in Sodom apart from Lot's immediate household. So it supports the premise of other family in Sodom apart from Lot's immediate household. And part of the danger inherent for Sodom, Lot should be reflected upon, is I can't believe I've been living here. See, really, that's the idea. That's the wake-up call. I can't believe I have chosen this path in life. That's what the intention of arousing in his thinking is designed to do in this thing. But he has his struggles. 9. Failure to leave means that Lot and family will be swept away in the punishment of the city. If they do not get up and go, then they will experience the same sin and the death of God's wrath in this whole scenario of how judgment will come down upon the peoples. 10. Those adjusted to God's will are prompt in obeying divine commands. Those who are positive, adjusted, the Bible says do this or don't do that, etc. This is the application you need to make. The positive, adjusted believer goes, okay, and does it. See? Anyone who is truly acclimated and oriented to authority in life are the same way. See? When an authority provides a command, then people don't beat around the bush, rationalize him and haw about it. They go out and do it if they're oriented. See, if they're oriented. Under SGA, well, maybe a different reason, a different thing, different scenario. But the acclimated individual would immediately say, okay, I got my track shoes on, let's go. See. 11, the phrase, but he hesitated. Wa maha, in quotes, denotes Lot's character in contrast to the one that otherwise you would think would be promptly obedient to the commands. But he hesitated. Lot hesitated. See. 12, Lot was fond of good living, the good life, with all his wealth, all the luxuries, pleasures, etc. Obviously that we would be found in such a society that was as rich and as profitable, luxurious as the region in the Jordanian plain was at that time. And he's, you know, happy in that situation in his own thinking. And something different is getting ready to come down the pike. This, in turn, has made him soft. Obviously, this comes about in a lot because of his own compromise of doctrine. He is pliable in a certain way to the influence of the cosmos around him because he's settled in. in regards to his compromise of doctrine in this situation. And now, obviously, that compromise takes its toll overall. And you don't see one who is truly sharp and aggressively ready to apply doctrine otherwise in this respect. He's indecisive. His hesitation shows that how lack of commitment is part of Lot's decision-making in regards to his life. Anxious, that all these STA trends all kind of fall in together in a situation like this. And last but not least, compromising. Compromising. His life's in danger. The angels have showed him unequivocally that we're not just regular guys. Saved him from the unimaginable agenda of the homosexual mob. They've given him warning. It's time to go. And they're doing it with urgency. They're letting him know, look, you know, if you don't get out, the tsunami is going to come in and wipe you out. You know, it's like the scientists, they have it. They see it on film. It's coming, man, I'm telling you. And people hesitate. And we see that all the time in regards to things. And dangers, in the, facing imminent dangers. And yet, people hesitate. Well, here, Lot hesitates. And he compromises in regards to his home life and his family's life. Now again, obviously, we may say, well, he doesn't think much about his family anyway. Well, yeah. I mean, when his STA is going, his STA is going. And we see another fallout in regards to him not dealing with his STA in life. But when it came time of something that is crucial to sparing his life, he wants to sit on his thumb now. He doesn't respond in a way that one would expect of someone who has real concern for life. 13, you can almost see his hypocrisy oozing out once again as he is indecisive in the face of knowing what is right. He's been living a life of compromising Bible doctrine, rationalizing, allowing his STA to dictate his decision making, and now you have a crucial moment in life where application of doctrine will, an immediate application of doctrine will determine whether he lives or dies. And we see the psyche of this guy, our brother, fellow believer Lot. And it's so illustrative of believers who compromise doctrine otherwise in their lives. And you never know when your compromising may catch up with you, just like it's catching up with Lot, and the negative effects that it has, and it comes back and slaps you in the face. Already, we've seen it. His hypocrisy is recognized by those around him, and it brings extra antagonism by the queers of wanting to now rape him. Then we see the fallout of his hypocrisy trying to convince those close to him the imminent danger that they're in, that they don't believe him. See? They're in disbelief, and they mock, they think he's jesting, and people don't take him serious. And now we see his hypocrisy of approach in regards to living the divine viewpoint of life, catching him once again by the shorts. I'll stop there. In a need to immediately evacuate the premises and get the, as I would like to always say, the hell out of Dodge. I've been to Dodge, so that's a pretty good word. I've been there. It's not any place that you want to have a week's vacation, I'm here to tell you. Walk down the old Dodge City Main Street, and that's about it. That's all that's there. But anyway, nothing against the city, and anybody that's from there, that's fine. But Lot hesitates. That denotes his character. It definitely is like now putting the final strokes of painting his character more or less. Leaving Sodom. even though it doesn't end here. So 14, his heart was in Sodom, and the materialistic good life he enjoyed there. Both are not without internal conflict. The pull of the sin nature, when it's not dealt with doctrine, creates internal conflict. It's a pull in regards to doing and applying a divine viewpoint of life versus our lust trends, our salvation of our sin nature otherwise. And that's this all looks at the importance of being and maintaining yourself under NPR, the consistent face-to-face exhortation in regards to doctrine as edification and building us up, and encouragement to hang in there and keep doctrine as your main focal point and priority of life. The fastidiousness of rebound, of taking the doctrine, recognizing our personal weaknesses, recognizing them before God, so that we can stay up on top and in tune in regards to our own life. So when something crucial or critical does come around, we're not falling all over ourselves trying to let go of baggage that we continue to hang on to otherwise. And then it comes in and it, you know, potentially slits our throat otherwise. So the internal conflict looks at the struggle of the SCA in regards to Bible doctrine. And here we're talking about doctrine that's going to save his life. Well, see, that's true in regards to doctrine, whether you're living in Sodom or you're living today in Cleveland. Doctrine is our salvation. It is our deliverance, as made possible through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The instructions, the directives, the role imperatives, all these things, is our deliverance, see, in regards to all the dangerous pitfalls otherwise that lays in Satan's world, brought about by the unilateral evil of the cosmos otherwise. 15, a relatively simple and straightforward decision has been complicated due to a life permeated with compromising decisions. He has no metal in regards to his spiritual well-being. You know, he's not strong. And it's all showing. It shows in all this. And that's what you see. People that are truly committed, then they make poor decisions otherwise in life. And it comes out and it evidences itself in other certain types of circumstances, situations. Sixteen, the angels are compelled here to use force, taking Lot, his wife, and two daughters, two with each angel, obviously being four all together, by each hand. One grabbed Lot, one of Lot's hands, maybe his wife, and the other, the two daughters' hands. And they're compelled. They can't wait. They're on God's time. See, they're not going to wait. People that are just in doctrine won't wait. They'll make their applications. 17, the angel's use of force here is seen as an act of mercy. Our translation, had compassion. Camilla, illustrating the degree of grace God will employ on believers, even as derelict is here exampled. Even as wishy-washy, weak, phase two otherwise. The extent God will go in extension of grace. Obviously, grace is underwritten this whole scenario. The homosexuals was given like one last opportunity. Look, here's your one more opportunity to change your mind here. With the event of Lot's house and supernatural event that accompanied that. You know, it should have woke some people up. Hey, wait a second, wait. We may not want to go this direction. But no, this is not the way it is. That's the nature of negative volition. Negative volition just determines to choose to reject it. And obviously we understand that people can be negative towards parts. They don't have to be negative to the whole thing. Here, had compassion, showing mercy, is the extension of grace that God will go, will apply, provide for one who is simply a believer, even one who is phase two is questionable at the very least. 18, the compassion, our term here is used with the nuance of sparing from death. But in his spiritual perspective, the grace and mercy is extended potentially to avoid sin unto death. Let's use Exodus 2:6. When she opened up, she saw the child, this be Moses, and behold, the boy is crying, and she had pity or compassion on him under the edict of genocide of the male children by the Pharaoh at the time. And she had compassion, mercy, and spared him from, as we know, the story goes, from certain death otherwise. He said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. She recognized where it came from. Deuteronomy 13:8. Makes you wonder if she would have done the same thing if it had been something other than a Hebrews' children, child. Deuteronomy 13:8. Light of adultery, idolatry, not adultery, but idolatry. For brother, your mother's son, verse 6, your son or son's daughter, or your wife, or the wife you cherish, or your friend who is your own, is as your own soul, entice you secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, whom neither you nor your fathers have known, or the gods of people who are around you, near you, or far from you, from one end of the earth to the other end. You shall not yield to him, or listen to him. People want to try to take you out of Bible class. You don't cave in. You stand your ground, see. And your eyes shall not pity him, nor shall you spare or conceal him. And in fact, what you should do as a nation is you should execute him. But you shall surely kill him. Your hand shall be first against him to put him to death. And afterwards, the hands of all the people.
Whoa.
Let's implement that. Well, it shows you who's truly committed to the doctrine, who puts God first. And people think that, God wouldn't ever do anything like this in regards to family. He wouldn't ever make you have to separate from family. Have you not yet read the Scriptures? The same God of old time, Old Testament, is the same God we serve today. So God is really picky. He expects him to be first in your life. See, if you want to have a relationship and fellowship with him. And you never know when you may be tested. None of us do. In situations like that. And how many people have gone down the tubes because they have let their own STAs be lazy and be influenced by people of such ilk. 1 Samuel 15. 3, 9, and 15, there translated as spared. Now go and strike Amalek and early destroy all that he has, and do not spare him. Don't show compassion. No mercy. See? In regards to Saul and the responsibility as the king of Israel, put to death both man and woman, child and infant, and ox and sheep and camel and donkey. And here we got people screaming bloody murder because we go in and make an airstrike somewhere and we happen to hit a couple of civilians that the terrorists are hiding behind. Truly, a generation of, shall I say, Clint Eastwood definitions, and I won't use the term. Verse 9. that Saul and the people spared Agag. Here you had to compromise. And the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fat of the lambs, and all that was good, and were not willing to destroy them utterly, but everything despised and worthless, that they utterly destroyed. The SGA coming in and compromising doctrine. They didn't follow God to a T. He's an exacting God. See? And then this 15, Saul said, they have brought them from that Malachi's, for the people spared the best of the sheep. As he's bragging that he carried out God's commands, Samuel checks him on it. And he gives excuse to sacrifice to the Lord your God, for the rest we have utterly destroyed. See, that's man going in there and saying, all right, I'm compromising doctrine for a higher purpose. Like, we can have a higher purpose than God. That's what people do. That's what the SCA will convince people often in regards to why they compromise doctrine. They think it's a higher purpose. If you can get any higher purpose than God's strict dictates and commands, you need to show it to me. You will not find it. See? But that's how people rationalize. That's how people rationalize, and you see them then failing to apply doctrine to its ultimate degree. Then they have their excuses and their reasons. Yeah, maybe they did use some of the sheep to do sacrifice with, but it still doesn't negate the fact that he disobeyed God. See. 19, the scene illustrates that God will enforce separation upon believers, not willing to make the application themselves as necessary to spare them from certain sin unto death. God is not beyond enforcing, and that's what he's doing here, the action of separation in order to save Lot and at least provide salvation for Lot and his family. Even when they may be weak and hesitant to make application themselves. And it's a principle that every believer should readily recognize that God is free to remove stumbling blocks from our lives as He deems necessary. And simply, it may not necessarily be because somebody, He sees somebody that's going to be faced too positive otherwise. It may simply be by the very fact that's the test that He puts in front of them as a spiritual wake-up call. Whether they come through with this whole situation, come through the situation positive, adjusted otherwise or not. Lot doesn't walk away from this thing adjusted to Bible doctrine by any stretch of the imagination. But yet God applied this and enforced this principle in his life. Well, his one sacred cow often can become one's burnt cow and destroyed cow if that's what God chooses to do and determines to do. We must all remember that. You start putting things above God, you are testing God, and He may respond, okay, I'm going to force a separation here in this situation. And it's all for the one's benefit, as a spiritual wake-up call. But if they don't wake up, then it really, all it does is bring about additional misery and grief in regards to the individual, which is the way Lot ended up living the rest of his life. Miserable. 20 believers ultimately positive would learn from the experience. The words ultimately positive, see, would learn from the experience. Reality falling short in Lot and family's lives. 21, that Lot and family barely allowed themselves to be put outside the city is by grace and essentially by force. Underlines the razor edge of being believers that secure their deliverance in this situation. Fortunately for them, they were believers. And that was enough for God to go ahead and provide deliverance from this particular situation. A national calamity was coming down on the plains. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to light to see things in Jesus' name. Amen.